WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. Family and support are crucial during the coming of age of LGBTQ youth, as we discussed in our last segment with Saeed Jones. We were talking about his memoir, How We Fight for Our Lives. And a part of that coming of age is coming out. Friday was National Coming Out Day, but coming out is often a process, and what it means to come out and what that moment looks like can vary drastically from dangerous to awkward. Not everyone knows what to say, and even the most supportive and well-intentioned can get the moment majorly wrong. To give us their perspective on the multitude of coming out experiences, I'm joined by Mike Johnson and Kyle Goetz. They are the hosts of the podcast Gayish, about gay stereotypes and sexuality. Gentlemen, thanks for being with me.
Well, good afternoon. Good to be here. Thank you so much.
And listeners, we want you to join the conversation. Did you or a loved one come out? Can you share any advice on how to support loved ones going through the process? If you've come out, what was helpful to hear? What was not helpful to hear? Our number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So I just want to ask you quickly, guys, when did you start your podcast and why?
We started it like 2.5 years ago, and it was because Mike and I both had the same conversations of we don't feel like we fit the gay stereotypes. So we wanted to just talk about what those were. Some of them we do, some of them we don't. And it's been a really interesting conversation that I think has ended up resonating with a lot of people.
How do you choose your topics for your episodes?
Very careful process that involves paper napkins on the kitchen table and a lot of rosé.
But we like to talk about a variety, from mental health to sexuality topics to just random stereotypes, like why are rainbows part of the LGBT family and assumptions.
So what is it about stereotypes? I mean, you guys have been going through this for 2 years and really thinking about it, about sexuality. Why do they remain so persistent?
Well, it's an easy shorthand, I think. People have this natural tendency to want to put people into boxes, and those boxes have their labels, and people get a sense of comfort out of that, even if they're completely wrong. And we also have the media to thank. I think a lot of representation of queer people is very one-dimensional, and it brings all of these ideas of what it means to be a gay person. And it turns out, you know, when the rubber hits the road, that it's not that way. Like, people aren't really like that. And Colin Jost had the really great joke over the weekend on SNL of there's no wrong way to be gay unless you're Ellen last week. and we really stand by that. There's no wrong way to be gay.
My guests are Mike Johnson and Kyle Goetz, their hosts of the podcast Gayish. We want to get you in on this conversation. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. We want to talk about if you've come out. Can you share any advice to support loved ones going through the process? If you've come out, we'd love to hear what you thought was helpful, what you thought wasn't helpful to hear. Join the conversation, 212-433-9692. 9692-212-433-WNYC. Okay, guys, so what are some of the misconceptions about coming out?
Well, first, that it's an event that happens and then it's over. Gay people, you will come out over and over and over again for the rest of your life. In any given social encounter of meeting a new person, there's this momentary panic of, okay, am I going to come out to them? So it's almost like to call it coming out like it's a thing that is then done and over with, I think is really unfortunate that we think it's that, because it's not.
Huh. And I would also say another one is, just because there's growing acceptance of LGBT people in the U.S. does not mean it is now easy. to come out, because there are so many little cues that everyone will get, even in the most supportive family, that says being gay is not okay. So everyone has to struggle with this until it becomes just normal and accepted that people can be gay.
That's so interesting that you say it's easy. What do you think has given people that false sense that this should be easy in 2019?
I think a big part of it is marriage equality. A lot of people assumed that was the goal we were reaching for, and when we hit that, now we're done. And there are so many other areas that we need to keep working towards, especially right now, employment, non-discrimination. Right now in so many states, you can be fired just for being gay, and that's legal.
Sort of when Obama was elected, racism was over, the idea?
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
All right, so you had a graphic you posted that said, how not to be a, I'll say jerk, how not to be a jerk if yeah. someone comes out to you. What are some of the tips?
I'll say that there's no perfect way to either come out or to be the recipient of someone coming out. So it's not about being perfect. It is about showing love, understanding, and compassion for that person. I think that is the biggest rule. But we also added in other tips, like if you say, hopefully say, I love you, adding the qualifiers of I still love you or I love you anyway. If you can avoid those, it is just the blanket statement, I love you.
I know this might sound obvious, but can you explain why that's a particular issue?
Yeah, I think it's almost saying, in spite of your gayness,
right,
I love you. And what the message should be is, I love you, including the fact that you are gay. I love every part about you.
There's one there that says, I don't say I already know or I always knew. I have to say I'm guilty of that one.
I have been too. There are so many of these that we try to be honest about our flaws, and absolutely, and you can have suspicions, but I think that goes to speak to, if someone shows stereotypically gay traits, that kind of, and then we say, oh, that person must be gay, then we make it harder for straight people to exhibit typically feminine traits. And that have that be okay.
I'd say the corollary also, don't say, which is, I had no idea, because it implies, again, that there is a right way to be gay and you weren't doing it, or congratulating them, I guess, on hiding themselves.
I received a lot of, oh, I would never have expected it. And that, yeah, does speak to, well, you didn't, you know, what were the things that I didn't do that you thought I was supposed to in order to be gay?
Let's take a call. Rob is calling us from Chelsea. Rob, thanks for calling All of It.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, it's Allison.
Hi. Yeah, so I just wanted to share a story of my coming out. Yeah, I'm 47 now, but I was 22 then. Lived in Westchester. But, like, up until that point, I was even scared to walk around the West Village without sunglasses and a hat, you know, thinking that I'd be spotted. But I moved out to L.A., and into West Hollywood, and, you know, got my bearings. And then coming out to my parents, I was still pretty nervous that, you know, they would disown me and that, you know, other people's, you know, tragic stories would affect me. But my parents were really helpful. And my dad, like, went into a silent period for like 2 weeks, but then said he loved me. And, you know, they accepted me, and they accepted me when I got HIV, like, 6 years later. And, yeah, so my coming out story was pretty okay, although there was a lot of fear built into it, you know, of loss.
Of course. Rob, thank you so much for sharing your story. We really appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Thank you.
Mike or Kyle, would you mind sharing one of your stories?
Oh, sure. So I was married to a woman for 5 years, and it was about the age of 30 that I decided I just couldn't live that lie anymore. And came out, and it was a interesting experience because most of my friends and family found out that the same day that they found out I was coming out that I'm gay, that I was getting a divorce.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot for you too. Yeah, for everybody.
Yeah, but I was also fortunate to have a similar experience to the caller of everyone. Everyone really handled it really well and was supportive and loving. And I feel so privileged for that because a lot of people have very different experiences.
And my experience, also very lucky that I had a family and friends that loved me and wouldn't, you know, a lot of LGBT youth get kicked out of their homes.
Right.
I didn't have that experience. at the same time, when I came out to my parents at around the age of 20, we had so many arguments and tears that where we landed at first was that we would grow apart and we wouldn't be a part of each other's lives eventually. And that was really difficult for me as a 20-year-old sure. to accept that my parents were willing to let the relationship go in that direction. It has since gotten better, but it was really hard at first.
Let's get one more call in here. Artie is calling us from the Bronx. Hi, Artie. Thanks for calling All of It. Artie, are you there? Hello, Artie. Artie, are you there? I'm gonna give one more shot. I think Artie put us on hold, guys. So before I let you go, can you give us any more just don'ts? I mean, I hate to be on the negative, but I think that they're really helpful.
I mean, don't make it about you. There are several tips that all roll up into the idea of don't make it about you. Don't start crying. Don't talk about how hard it's going to be to talk to your church about it. Don't ask about what the neighbors are going to think. It's not about you in that moment. It's about that person and what they have trusted you with, and making sure that they feel loved and supported. And the focus should be on them.
And can you give me one big do?
I would say this person has been thinking about this for, you know, you're just hearing it in this moment. This person has been thinking about it for 5, 10, 15, 50 years, depending on where you're at.
Good point.
Do show love and compassion and continue to check in with them on it. It is not one conversation that it's done. If someone trusts you with that information, ask how they're doing with it. Ask how their process is going. Ask how they feel. And that goes a long way to have someone that you trust being there for you.
Mike Johnson and Kyle Getz, they're the hosts of the podcast Gayish. Thank you so much for joining us and for all the good information. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. I will meet you back here next time.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.